Okay. Hello, and welcome to the No More Shame Show. Today I'm very excited to have my sister Sydney here with us today. She has a very wonderful story to share with all of you. So I'm going to turn it over to her to introduce herself and tell us her story.
Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm Dylan's little sister. A little bit about myself. I am going to school right now at Utah State, and it's been pretty good there. I love anything outdoors. I love hiking. I love hammocking. I love boating, like being on the water. I love doing all that kind of stuff. I recently returned home from my serving a mission. I returned home in April, and I went to the Colorado Fort Collins mission, and I loved it. And now I'm here, just going to tell you my story. I struggle with something that is called a disordered eating, which is basically like an eating disorder. It's like how I describe it is like a branch off of an eating disorder. It's like in the middle of like anorexic and bulimia. Like, it doesn't have like a specific name, but, and my story kind of starts in my high school years. I was a sophomore and I was taking health class. And I remember, like, it was around New Year's Eve time. I wanted to make a goal to get healthy and to get stronger. I just wasn't, I guess, very happy with how I looked, and I wanted to look better in my eyes. And so that was like a goal that I really worked hard on. And so I started working out more, and I tried to not eat as, like, I dropped all sweets. I wasn't eating that kind of stuff. And then it just kind of got a little bit worse as it went on. I started to work out a ton, like a lot. And I started to not eat as much as I used to. And soon I started to skip meals. And it kind of spiraled down from there. And I was really struggling a lot internally, especially, and I wasn't open with anyone, not even my parents, for the longest of time, because in my eyes nothing was really wrong, like, with what I was doing. I didn't like myself, so I wanted to get to a point where I could like myself. And in my head and in my eyes, I wanted to be thinner, I wanted to look better, and because I thought that no one would love me and that I just was ugly and fat and not good enough. And so I needed to skip meals, I needed to not eat, I needed to work out, and if I didn't work out, then I couldn't eat, and I just had so many restrictions in my mind, and I was really struggling, but I didn't want anyone to know about it. And so my parents are awesome and amazing, and they would try to talk with me about how they were noticing that I wasn't eating as much and things were happening, and I would get upset with them, and I would just kind of be like, I'm fine. Like, I'd push them away and I wouldn't want to talk with them about it. And then 2 years later, it was my senior year. So I'd gone from my sophomore year around Christmas time till my senior year is, I'd say the beginning of 2017. I don't really remember what I was doing at the moment. I remember I was home and something just clicked in my mind that if I didn't get help, then it's going to get a lot worse than what it was already. And so I remember going into my parents' room, shutting the door, and they were both in there, and I'm telling them that I need help and I don't want anyone to know. I made them promise to me that no one could know, not even my siblings, none of their family members, no one could know that I was going to get help, because in my eyes, I didn't want anyone to know about it, because I didn't want them to think differently of me and that, you know, and be like up in my face about it. And I just didn't want to cause problems. And I felt like if people knew about it, then I would be different to them and that it would just be a different relationship with them, and I didn't want that. And so I started seeing a counselor, and I want to say it was in March of 2017. It was during school, and I started seeing her every week. And I'd have to leave school sometimes so I could go see her. And I was blessed with a really good counselor. She is awesome, and we're very close friends right now, still to this day. And I started to meet with her and talk about things and be more open, which was really nice because for all those years, I didn't talk with anyone about it because I would get upset. I would push them away, and I would just push those feelings and keep them inside. And so I started being able to talk with her a little bit more about what I was going through and what I was struggling with and why I was doing the things that I was doing, why I was hurting my body. And so that's what she diagnosed me with, disordered eating, and we started to really focus on it and work on it. And it had been a few months after seeing her. It was probably in the beginning of that summer. So I had graduated high school. I was just at home working, and still at that point, no one knew that I was going to see someone. I think my siblings kind of had an idea that something was happening, but none of them knew. And I remember one specific counseling appointment I had. We actually went into a different room, and she had me pick like these little, they're like action figures, different characters, like Disney characters, all these little toys, and pick each one like to represent a member of my family, represent a member of like my immediate family, so all my siblings and my parents. And I picked each one, and I told her why I picked them, and we did like this little activity, and we were talking about things, and we talked about how it's important to have people on our side, and the power that comes from having people on your side and from people knowing. And that was a huge moment for me because it hit me. I felt very strongly that it was time for me to open up a little bit more and open up specifically with my siblings. And like Dylan has mentioned, there's six kids in our family, so I have five siblings. And that moment, that day, I knew that I needed more help. I needed more support because I was really struggling. Once I started seeing my counselor, it did help a lot to be able to talk about things, but I also struggled, I think, a lot more, and because it was out in the open, and it was things that we were talking about, and I was facing them, and so it was very hard for me. But I knew that I had great siblings and a great family, and I knew that I could tell them, and so it was one-on-one with each of my siblings at different times. At first it was with our oldest sister. Actually, I think it was with Dylan. And then it was
I'm not her older sister.
He's not my older sister. I think I shared it with Dylan first and then our older sister, and then it was just with different times with different siblings. And I was worried at first because I knew it would be good, but also I knew it would be hard because it was really hard for me to admit that I was struggling with basically an eating disorder because, like, I think when we have things that we struggle with in our minds create these things, and the world adds on to the thoughts and what people might think of us. And so it was really hard, but I'm so grateful for each moment I had when I told my siblings what I was going through. And it was very special to me, and I don't know if they know how important those moments were, but I believe they were a crucial part of me being here today and where I am at. And so I shared with my siblings, but I too made them promise that I don't want them to talk with anyone about it, and I didn't actually really want them to talk with me about it after, which is kind of silly. I kind of was like, this is what I'm going through, and the best way to help me is, like, maybe don't bring it up. Like, if I want to talk about it, I'll talk with you about it, which still is not the best, but they knew about it, and I was like, if you have any questions, you can ask me. So that opened, I think, a new door for me because I had kind of, it wasn't maybe it was a barrier for me, but it helped me, I think, push me to get to a farther point to progress even more. And so throughout the rest of the year, that, so it was 2017 when I told them, the summer is when I kind of told all of them. They all knew. And I had been planning to serve a mission for, like I mentioned, I served for the Colorado Fort Collins mission, but I planned for a long time that I wanted to serve a mission. And so I ended up not going to school. I just worked at home, and it was around the time where I could submit my papers. And at that moment, the only people who knew were my intermediate family, and that was it. And I knew to submit my papers to go on a mission, I had to talk with our church leaders. And so I knew I had to tell them what I was going through, because it's a big thing, and it's kind of scary thing to be struggling with, and then to leave your family and to go somewhere where no one knows you and you don't know anyone. And so I knew I needed to let them know. And so that too was a scary moment for me, because once again, I had those thoughts of, well, what are they going to think about me? Am I going to be able to go on my mission because of it? And I was able to open up and share with them, and it turned out to be the best for me, because I think it helped me be a little more comfortable with what I was going through, and comfortable in knowing that it is becoming a part of me and who I am. And so I talked with our bishop and with him about it, and he helped me get my papers all ready, and we submitted my papers, and I had waited a month, and I hadn't heard anything about my mission call, and then my bishop called me, and I went into his office that night. I submitted my papers in February, and it was March, I believe it was March 7th, actually, when he called me, and he brought me into his office, and he pulled out this letter, and it was saying how, basically, that due to the things I was struggling with, due to my disordered eating, that he felt that maybe it would be best to wait 6 months and to work on a few things, and to kind of take care of some things to make sure that I was really ready, that I was okay to go out and leave for 18 months. That was really, really hard for me. It was the hardest moment of my life. And because I had all these thoughts, I opened up, I thought I was fine, and all these things started coming to my mind. But I waited the 6 months, I did what I needed to do, they wanted me to do, and I had to do, and I was able to resubmit my papers in September of 2018, and then in October, I got my mission call, and then I left a month later in November, and it was a huge thing for me, because I remember talking with my counselor about it when I had my mission call, or when I was preparing. I think it was, I had it and I was preparing. It was like one of my last sessions with her. I'm talking about how I just didn't want to come home early because of what I had gone through and what I struggled with, and the things that have held me back for so long and kind of like contained me and held me down from being who I really was. And I just remember talking with her about it, and that was a worry that I had leaving for my mission at the very beginning of my mission, because it was still all fresh on my mind, and I was worried a lot about it. And then I had my days where I struggled, but for the most part I did pretty good, and I got to a point on my mission where I was more comfortable with my disordered eating, with what I struggled with. And I was able to use that and share it with others. And when I hit my year mark, I actually emailed On Your Missions. People send out weekly emails. And I remember feeling like I should share it with the people that had supported me and continued to support me, even though they didn't know necessarily what I went through, why I had to wait my 6 months. And so I sent an email sharing with people why I had to wait my 6 months. I would say I have medical things, and I finally told them, and I am so grateful I did. I had so much love and support that I didn't really think I would have from letting people know, and it made me more comfortable with it, and it helped me realize that the things that we go through aren't meant to like hold us back or to contain us like I thought, but they more shape us into something that we can, who we're supposed to become, someone better. And yes, it's still hard. It doesn't take the pain away or the struggles away or the really hard days away, but I believe that I'm a stronger person because I struggle with disordered eating, and I'm a stronger person because I've been able to open up more about it. And it takes time. It took me a long time to be comfortable sharing with more people. And there are times where I'm with someone and I still don't always feel comfortable talking about it. But I'm grateful that I'm here today and able to share with you that it's okay to not always know what's going on with your life, but it's okay to also open up about it and share with people, even if it's just one person, even if it's your parents, and it starts there. I've seen the blessings from it, and I'm so grateful that I'm here today because it changed my life, and it's brought me so many blessings because of it. And it's really hard some days still. I still struggle with it, but I'm also doing better than I was in high school. Someone who thought that they couldn't talk with anyone about it because they were afraid that they would be judged and that it would make people think differently about them. I've changed, and I've seen that it doesn't bring that judgment at all, but it has brought more love and strong relationships with people that I never thought I could connect with about it, but have been able to. And so that's kind of my story. That's where I'm at right now. And yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So the first thing that I want to know, but I kind of already asked you because the camera cut for a second. You really don't know which Disney character you picked for me?
No. Dylan asked me which, when I had my counseling thing, and she had me pick the little action figures. I don't remember what I picked for you.
Oh. It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
So you mentioned that mom and dad would kind of try talking to you about this. Would anybody else come and talk to you about it? Or did anyone else try to? Or was it just them?
So people would like come up to me and be like, wow, like Sydney, you're looking so thin, like you've lost weight kind of thing. And not necessarily, they'd be like, what are you doing? Like, how are you getting that way? And in my head, like sometimes it's nice to hear that, but in my head, it would just be like, I'm not that thin. Like, why are you telling me that? But I remember also one of our grandparents had mentioned something to me about how I was looking thinner and how she was kind of worried, and it, like, I don't know what, but it just would frustrate me because at that time I didn't see that, and I didn't want to talk about it because I think I was afraid that something was wrong. And I didn't want to bring it up, and I wasn't ready to bring it up. So I just kind of like push it aside. So I remember one time mom and I were driving in the car going home from something, and she tried bringing it up. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. And I remember getting out of the car. We pulled in, and I like got out of the car. I was like, I don't want to talk about it, mom. And I just like went inside. But those are like the few people that I can think about besides mom and dad is one of our grandmas. Brought up with me once.
So just, you know, just a grandma brought it up.
Yeah, and but people would make comments to me, but like I just kind of try to ignore
it. Yeah.
That.
So, was there anything, or is there still anything that kind of triggers you, or things that you maybe have to avoid because you know that it will cause you to kind of slip back down?
Yeah. So when I was really struggling with it, and before it, especially before I saw my counselor, I would always be constantly checking my weight on the scale, and like all the time. And if it went up, that would just like, if I weighed more than one day and I'd see that number, I'd be like, okay, I need to be more strict. I can't eat. Like my portion size were so small. I don't know if you ever remember my size, that like the portion size that I would eat, like, and I would eat so fast at dinner, like I would just not eat basically, because I would see those numbers and I think in my mind I had like this number of like, if you weighed this much, then you're okay. But it's like, once I got there, I needed to weigh a little bit less and a little bit less, and I needed to like pull myself back. So I can't remember the last time there's a day where I just like, I can't look at the scale. And so I haven't weighed myself in a long time. And when I do have to get weighed, like if I have to go to the doctor's or something, I always turn around so I can't see the number, because I know that that's a trigger that I have, that if I see that, then I might start being more restrictive again, and more thoughts will come to my mind. And also with like, I used to always look at the calories and be like, okay, like what can I eat to get the calorie, or like what should I eat to have half the number of calories? So if it's like 100 calories, like if you eat two, like I'd only eat one. Or like because I would constantly be thinking about calories and try to like add it up in my head and be like, oh, I've reached my calorie limit, even though I probably never reached my calorie limit. Or I ate something and I thought, well, that's something sweet, so it's got to have a lot of calories in it, so that means I can't eat something that would actually give me the nutrients I need. And so, like, I try to not look at, like, the calories or serving sizes, because then I'll just start to focus on that and I'll know, like, oh, like, I'll focus on that and then I won't want to eat something. Like, I will, in my head, won't let myself eat because I know that I've eaten something with a lot of calories and that's not good. Like, in my mind, it's not good, or it wasn't good. So those are some things. And so, yeah, I haven't weighed myself in a really, really long time, because I know that it would probably be something that could bring me down very quickly.
Yeah. I didn't know if you want me to ask, but it's like, didn't you have at one point, like, the scale was hidden so that when it...
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was going to be...
Yeah, no, I think mom and dad actually hid it, because it was just in our bathroom, so I could go into the bathroom and I would just weigh myself. And I'd, like, multiple times a day. And so, like, your weight changes based on, like, you know, different things. But in my head, like, I didn't see that, like... I know that it was something that Satan was doing to make me feel like I wasn't worthy of love. I wasn't worthy to love this body that I have and take care of it. And he messed with my mind. And it was basically, I described, like, my mind was just like in this huge rut. And it took a long time to get out of that rut. And it's sometimes very easy to get back into that rut. So
what helps you now, or what helped you then to kind of start getting your mindset to change?
That's a good question. I feel like different things have helped me, like, in different stages of where I was at. Like, right now, so being on my mission... Like I mentioned, I was really worried going on my mission, and things kind of like would spiral back down. That was like something I did not want to happen. And on my mission, I did actually, I did pretty good. Like, I did really good. There were some days where I struggled, but it wasn't like how I struggled at home. And then coming home from my mission, it changed a little bit. I struggled a lot more. And I think one thing for me is, I think because on my mission, I was out thinking of others. I was serving other people. And so I've noticed how, like, for me, being able to go do things for others and take my mind off of it, like my mind off of myself and my struggles, then that has helped me. And I think too, like, being I also, when I came home from a mission, I didn't have a job. I wasn't going to school, so I really didn't have, like, anything. So, like, having something to do has helped me a lot. I actually just had, I met with my counselor just recently, just kind of as a checkup, because I knew, like, I noticed some things that I had been doing that kind of, like, weren't good. So I was like, I just want to kind of recheck with you and go over some of the tools that she's taught me. So one thing is, like, mindfulness, being mindful. And there's some steps to, like, help me be more mindful and be more present in the moment, kind of not focus so much on, like, one of the thoughts that I've had. And one thing, too, that I just got is I just bought, like, a little journal where I can, for, like, when I get really back into my, I don't know, thoughts. I call it, like, alone in my thoughts, where that's when I really struggle, and it's just, like, constant. Like, I can't think of anything else. I only think about what I've ate, how much I weigh, what do I look like, and start feeling negative towards myself. It's where I can just write down for, like, set the timer for a few minutes and just write everything out, like, literally everything, like, whatever comes to my mind. And then once the timer's up, just kind of look at it and then rip it out and throw it away and just kind of let everything out. So writing, for me, writing stuff out has helped me. So I can see my thoughts. When I see my thoughts, then I kind of realize, like, okay, like, this isn't true. Like, I'm doing good and I don't need to worry about this stuff, because I know when I worry about this stuff, like, it doesn't help. And so that's helped me. There's the rule of sixes, what she called it, is, like, one of the negative things that, like, for example, like, I'm fat. Like, then you write six positive things, like, a positive thought to, like, counteract that negative thought.
I like that.
And so it's, like, I'm fat. Well, like, no, like, you look good. Like, you're not fat. And I think, like, in our heads, we all have different views of what the perfect body is. And I think the world portrays what a perfect body is. But ultimately, we have been given our bodies for a reason, and we looked the way we'd look. And we're all beautiful people. And that's something I'm, like, I have to tell myself over and over again, because I still struggle with it. But we all are beautiful people. It doesn't matter the number on the scale or the size of, like, your clothes that you wear, like, that doesn't define who you are. And for the longest time, that did, in my mind, define who I was. But I've realized that it doesn't. And so these things, so, like, being mindful, kind of being able to write down my thoughts and realize, like, that's not true. Like, you're beautiful, and it doesn't matter what you weigh, what you eat, you know, like, as long as you take care of your body and as long as you can see yourself as a child of God, and, like, that's most important. We're all loved. We're all meant to be here. So.
Awesome. I like your rule of sixes. Yeah, that's really cool. And
so, in closing, last question, what advice would you give to somebody who's in the same situation as you are?
My advice would be that you are not alone, and I feel like no matter what you're going through, whether it is an eating disorder or it's anxiety or depression or going through a divorce or whatever it might be, I think it's easy to feel like we are alone, and I felt that, and sometimes I do still feel alone, but I have to remind myself that there's someone here for us. And if you look around, whether it's a family member or a friend, even a neighbor, a teacher, like, whoever it might be, there's someone that loves you and that will listen to you. And for me, that was the greatest thing that I could have ever done, was to share it with my parents, because I don't know where I'd be right now if I had kept on going and without talking about it, without seeing a counselor. I think it would have been a lot harder. It was already hard enough, and I'm grateful that I was able to share with my family and friends and for their love and support, and I'm grateful for our Savior Jesus Christ. He their brother, and I'm grateful that he's was there for me the whole time. Because it was really hard, and so I'm grateful that we have the knowledge that there's someone there who knows completely how we feel, and here right now there's someone that will listen. I can promise that, whether that's an old teacher, whoever it might be. Don't be afraid to share, and don't feel ashamed to share, because that's just your mind and your thoughts and Satan holding you back because of the help that you could receive because you open up.
Appreciate you coming today, Sid, and I appreciate your story and sharing that. I know it's not always easy to share that, so I sure do love you, and thanks for letting me in on it.
Yes, of course.
Well, do you want to say your Instagram or something? So if people have questions, they can come directly to you.
If you guys have questions about anything or might be going through the same thing and need someone to talk to, I'm here. My Instagram is, so it's like all lowercase. It's Sydney Sue, and it's SYDNIE Sue, and then 99. That's all it is. So please reach out. Love to answer any questions. So.
Awesome. You're cool, Sid. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe down below. I appreciate all those who have, and I appreciate you watching the video today. Hope you have a great day, and take care. Bye.